Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Understanding how the pandemic has impacted us here in South Dakota is a vital part of the recovery effort. Today, we're looking at some of the trends for nonprofit organizations in the state through the lens of the COVID-19 impact on South Dakota nonprofit survey analysis. It's from Benchmark Data Labs. Jared McIntaffer is president and CEO of Benchmark. Jared, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Lori. It's my pleasure.
Also with us, the Director of Monitoring and Evaluation for Benchmark, Callie Schleissner. Callie, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Jamie Tennis is Executive Director of the United Way of the Black Hills. Jamie, welcome as well.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And one more, Janet Kittems, Chief Executive Officer of the Helpline Center. Janet, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everybody.
So we have this panel gathered here today, and we're going to talk about this impact of the pandemic on South Dakota nonprofits. And Jared, I want to start with you. Tell us a little bit about the survey itself and some of these efforts to look at and fully understand what we all kind of understand anecdotally, but to understand it with data.
Oh, sure. So the survey we did was kind of, I think, motivated by a deep desire to understand how South Dakota's nonprofits were dealing with the pandemic. What we did is surveyed a number of nonprofits across the state. I think we had 391 nonprofits respond to that survey. And we really structured the survey in two different rounds. So we surveyed nonprofits early in the in the pandemic, first I think it was April, and then a follow-up survey in September to try and understand how the initial response happened, how the response was going, you know, several months into the pandemic, and really tried to get information on, you know, what was happening with employment, what was happening with nonprofit revenues, how were service deliveries being impacted. Really trying to understand the full gamut of the response.
Yeah. Is it usual to do something sort of in the midst of it like this? And I know it's ongoing, but this is, you know, all this is unfolding so quickly. Is that kind of a rare event to follow from a data analysis perspective?
Well, it certainly makes it more challenging. I think at the beginning, we're all sort of scrambling to try and wrap our heads around what's going on. And from a survey perspective or an analysis perspective, you want to try and understand all of the potential roadblocks or all of the potential issues that could come up before you even start your survey, before you even start asking those questions, so that months down the road, you can look back at the information you've gathered and hopefully you've got everything positioned from the beginning, that you've got some good data gathered and the right data gathered to answer the questions that you want answered.
Right, because you're also trying to figure out how you're going to do your job and keep your family safe at the same time you're living through this as you're trying to help other people live through it. I'm going to bring Callie into the conversation. Tell me a little bit about your work with this project and some of your initial thoughts about it.
Absolutely. So we worked with a really wonderful group of people through the West River Funders group, and they really helped us dive deep into what kind of questions we wanted to ask and how we can get this survey out there. A lot of my role was helping design the survey and making sure that I understood what people were saying in the survey, and then moving forward in analysis. One of the things that we really focused on with this survey was making sure that it was actionable. And so we work with these West River funders to give them some short-term implications, some long-term implications, but also looking forward at how we can make this data approachable for other decision makers in the state. And so we've provided all of the data we collected for round one and round two on our website, benchmarkdatalabs.org, both as interactive data dashboards that people can click through, get kind of information that they want, but also as downloadable documents, PDFs, and executive summaries to help people better understand the data. We know that not everybody are data nerds like us, so we try to do our best to get data to everybody that could possibly use it.
Yeah, and Callie, the same question. When you talk about, you know, trying to understand what people are saying and making it something that people can respond to in a time of crisis, there are some real challenges there as everyone's lives are really upended in March, even before we had, you know, large numbers of cases, the disruption came early. Tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So we had some really great templates to work with. Other states have had other initiatives that looked at measuring the impact of the pandemic pretty early on. So we were able to look at what went well with those organizations and what we could improve upon here in South Dakota. We also know that a lot of these nonprofits in our states are short-staffed already before the pandemic. Things like quarantine and other stressors like an increase in demand for services means that asking questions in a survey makes it more difficult for these folks to answer. So the West River Funders Group actually did put out a number of opportunities to win a raffle for sizable donations to their organization. One of the things that we did also was answered questions. We know that people have a lot of questions when they answer surveys, so we actually built out a survey response guide so people could be walked through the questions and answer those that they felt that they were able to, and also reach out directly to us if they needed clarification. One of the things, I think one of the biggest findings we found, even as early as April, is a lot of nonprofits were immediately impacted in South Dakota, mostly negatively, unfortunately, and so we were able to act on that.
Yeah, Jamie Tennis with the United Way of the Black Hills. Tell me a little bit about the significance of a survey like this for the work that you do with United Way.
Yeah, so this information was critical, and there was a group of funders, the West River funders, who really needed this type of information in real time because we all had COVID funding available to help support the nonprofit community, but it was really important that we made data-driven decisions so we truly understood what were the immediate needs that the nonprofits were facing and how we could tailor our funding to help support those immediate needs, but also recognizing that there's going to be long-term recovery. And so that's part of why, you know, we did the second round of the survey and really dug into the ongoing support that our nonprofits need. And, you know, as Callie mentioned, some of our nonprofits saw an immediate increase in demand for their services. You think of organizations that provided things like food or economic support. Some saw upwards of a 300% increase in demand for their services. But on the other end of the spectrum, you had many organizations who maybe worked with an elderly population who wasn't able to meet with their clients because of the health risks. And so just understanding the nuances of how the pandemic impacted each of these nonprofits help us as funders identify how we can support the sector as a whole. And it's not just funding, you know, that's what a lot of the focus is on with the funding needs, which is huge. But there's also things like the volunteer needs. When there are health concerns, organizations that depend on volunteers suddenly didn't have that volunteer base that they were used to. And so helping figure out how we can adapt and meet those needs.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some of the notable trends from a big picture standpoint in a minute. But first, Janet Kittems with the Helpline Center. You're a participant in this survey, and some of the things we've been talking about, I'm sure you're nodding your head about, you know, the challenges and sort of the difficulty of even responding to questions when everything is, you know, in motion. Tell us a little bit about what the past year really has been like for the Helpline Center.
Sure. Yeah, we were one of those organizations that was dramatically impacted immediately by the pandemic. The need for our services skyrocketed. But, you know, I think completing the survey, you know, I certainly took time out of my busy schedule to complete the survey because it's important to know that you're part of a bigger group and what the impact of the pandemic was having overall on the nonprofits across our state. And then I did try to work to encourage other nonprofits to complete the survey because I thought that data was just so critical for us to look at. you know, it certainly did take some time, but it was worth it to complete it. And I absolutely was nodding my head along with a lot of the comments that were made. What we saw a lot of is organizations that we worked with to update our resource database, tremendous need for their services and how they were adapting their programming to meet those needs. And we tracked all of that information. And then programs that saw a dramatic decrease in the need for their services and how they were adjusting to that, or if they temporarily had to shut their programs down, and we needed to let the public know that.
Yeah. Jared, I want to talk about some of these notable trends, and let's start with revenue. And how important was, like, first of all, what did you learn about the financial impact of the pandemic? And then how important was federal funding, like the PPP program, and state funding, COVID relief funding? How dramatic of an impact did that have on some of these organizations?
Yeah, so I think there were a number of really important trends that came out of the survey. The revenue trends and the impacts that were seen there was certainly one that stood out. The interesting thing from the revenue perspective was how different some of the nonprofits were impacted. We saw some nonprofits in certain industries, you know, like healthcare industries. Jamie had mentioned if you were doing elder care and you weren't able to see clients, right? So for a nonprofit like that, you can see your revenues decline, you know, immediately and significantly. Some other nonprofits weren't impacted as much. So there was a lot of variation there. But across the board, just like, you know, private sector businesses, a lot of nonprofits saw their revenues just kind of disappear overnight. And, you know, the federal programs like PPP, for example, were hugely beneficial. We saw in our data that the PPP money came in the sort of April through June timeframe and really filled the hole that was created by, just the drying up and the disappearing of everything due to COVID, the quarantines, the stay-at-homes, loss of ability to meet with clients. So from that perspective, federal funding and also a lot of funding that came in from foundations really sort of helped stabilize the ship. But we, in our survey, by the final survey round, we're starting to see that money drying up already, especially the federal mm-hmm. funds. So what we're seeing, or what we saw, is, you know, sort of a real fast stepping up of communities through donations, foundations through grant making, federal money through granting, that helped keep a lot of these organizations solvent. But the long-term challenges are definitely there. We still don't have a situation where, you know, you can go back to business as usual. There's still sort of restrictions on being able to see clients, the number of clients you're able to see at one point in time, you know, things like that. For safety's sake, there's sort of the restrictions. And we still have higher expenses due to, PPE, due to enhanced cleaning and things like that. So we're seeing organizations get hit on the revenue side and the expense side.
Nobody budgeted for 100 gallons of hand sanitizer in their regular
right?
budget.
If you had, somebody might have thought there was something strange going on, you know?
Exactly.
So, no one was prepared there. And then, as was mentioned, we're seeing the decline in volunteer activity. So in our survey, we saw basically a 24% decline in volunteering across, you know, all nonprofits. Yeah. So when you lose, if you're a nonprofit that's really dependent on volunteers to kind of accomplish the mission, and then that volunteer workforce disappears, you're in a tough spot for how you can fill that gap.
Yeah. Jamie, jump in here and expand on what Jared said. Some of the things that from the notable trends to even on the granular level of what you heard from people, what are some of the things that stand out for you?
Yeah, definitely the number of nonprofits who suddenly had to adapt to our changing environment. And what was amazing to witness is the collaborative spirit that we have here, especially in Western South Dakota, where organizations were meeting regularly to talk about real-time needs and working together to meet those needs and partnering up. And so in some ways, some of our nonprofits expanded their mission almost a little bit, just in terms of helping to meet some of the gaps that were out there. So you think of, you know, we've been talking about volunteers and the challenges with that. So you think of an organization like a Feeding South Dakota or Meals on Wheels, which is reliant on volunteers to help get the food to individuals. And when individuals aren't working, they had an increased need for those types of services. So like here in Rapid City, the local YMCA actually partnered with the Feeding South Dakota to help get some of the food out to some of the sites to help make sure people could get it. And so there were just creative partnerships to help meet the real-time needs. And that was just amazing to witness. And be a part of, and the data from this survey then helps us as funders kind of recognize where there are those gaps and what collaborations and partnerships can be pulled together to meet those needs. The other thing that we used this information for is that we shared this information with our state leaders, especially at the beginning when they were starting to kind of identify and craft what the state CARES funding might look like. And so this data was invaluable in helping paint the picture of the nonprofit sector and the impact that the pandemic is having on the nonprofit sector. And when you think of our community members in need, the nonprofit sector really is that first touch point for providing that help. And so being able to share that information with our state leaders so that they would keep that in mind as they were crafting how state resources could be used to help our community was really another important step we used this for.
Yeah. I want to talk more about that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about the COVID-19 impact on South Dakota nonprofits. It's a survey and analysis from Benchmark Data Labs. We will be right back after a break on listener-supported SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking today about the impact of the pandemic on South Dakota nonprofits. And we have the authors of a new survey analysis from Benchmark Data Labs. Jared McIntaffer is president and CEO, and Callie Schleissner is director of monitoring and evaluation. They're co-authors of the report. Also with us on the phone, Jamie Tennis, executive director of the United Way of the Black Hills, and Janet Kittums, chief executive officer at the Helpline Center. And before the break, we were talking about state leaders and sharing this kind of data with state leaders as this pandemic is very much still having a major impact. And Callie, I want to talk to you about that because the nonprofit ecosystem and the value of it is incredibly evident in this data. Tell me a little bit about how a report like this can help people understand not only that this is not a temporary problem and that this is very damaging for months and maybe even years to come, but just how valuable these organizations are to the community, how integral they are.
Absolutely. I think what we really like to focus on in this survey is just the depth and breadth of services that nonprofits offer communities in our state. You know, anything from, you know, basic health and safety to mental health and youth activities. You know, we get into in our executive summary just how different some of these nonprofit services are, how they are delivered, and who they impact. And I think that it's really important when you're looking at data, you know, the first inclination is to generalize. And to some extent we can about, you know, trends in volunteerism, but it's really important to understand how different and diverse the nonprofit community is here in South Dakota. And this has different implications for a lot of different industries that I think you can see some correlations between the for-profit and nonprofit sector in terms of what people find approachable in terms of data and how it impacts their lives. You know, for example, we asked a question on our second round about nonprofits and their concerns about childcare for their employees and what that might do to their capacity to achieve their mission. And I think that we have some really incredible nonprofit leaders here on this West River Council that really wanted to make sure that people found this data approachable and brought it to legislators' desks and brought it to other leaders' desks so that they could react to it and ask questions about it.
Yeah, that was my next thing to pull up because, Jared, as I was reading this, the thing that stood out to me the most was some very interesting data about what happens to an economy when parents don't have access to childcare or classroom opportunities for their kids. It made me start wondering about the Early Learning Initiative and how an economy can change if South Dakota were to have statewide preschool funding. There was all kinds of questions that I had about this impact. Talk about childcare a little bit, Jared, and what some of the things that you learned about just how significant it is if parents can't or choose not to use any kind of child, if they don't have access to quality child care services for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think that, and that the child care issue is one that we are just still, and I think all of us collectively are trying to figure out the implications, long-term implications of this pandemic. The interesting thing that I think jumped out to me on this in this area from our survey was related to the business model that a lot of these nonprofits have, or the revenue model. So for a lot of these nonprofits, they have to meet with clients. That's how they carry out their mission, right? And you're often dealing with a client base that has less access to technology, right? It's not as easy to conduct these sort of, you know, these child care or education or mental health services via Zoom call, things like that. So it's harder to meet with clients online. It's harder to meet them where they're at. And so it actually puts a lot of these nonprofits at more of a crunch on the child care side of the equation, right, where it's harder to work from home. It's harder to do the work in that way. So when you have a situation where the schools are closed, daycares can't be operating at full capacity, you do have, I think, a tendency to, or a possibility of losing more of the workforce, right? Where some of these staff people have to just walk away from their job temporarily to provide that child care. And so a lot of the nonprofits, I think, were experiencing these issues in many cases more so than some other businesses.
Janet Kittems, what needs to happen next with a report like this? How does it need to get into people's hands? How does it need to flow forward?
You know, I think some of the distribution has already happened with our state leaders and legislators, because I've already had conversations with some of them just about the impacts of the pandemic on the nonprofits. But I also think a lot of the nonprofits who have been dramatically impacted by the pandemic have had their noses to the grindstone, and they really aren't even aware of the survey and the results that came out of that. So I think, you know, getting more information back to them is going to be important. Just a few other comments I would make about the subject of child care. We talked with thousands of people across the state of South Dakota through the helpline that were displaced from their jobs, and many times they were displaced because they could not access child care, and they had to literally give up their jobs to do that. So that was, you know, very challenging to listen to, and I know that that still is happening today. And then on the other side of things, with just when we were talking about additional expenses, I don't want it to be left not said that one of the expenses I think that a lot of the nonprofits experienced, and I know the helpline did, is that technology piece, is that a lot of nonprofits don't have the latest technology, and so they quickly had to invest in the ability for people to work from home, and that was quite an expense to be able to accomplish that. So I think that's something that's going to be ongoing for nonprofits as they continue to adapt to the new world and then what that technology means to them.
Yeah. Janet, you've been very close to this, as you hear from the people who are having those phone calls. Has it been a heartbreaking, a stressful time? I mean, you mentioned this idea of, you have your nose to the grindstone. Every once in a while, I look up and I think, wait, what have we just been through? Because I haven't had time, you know, to catch my breath. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, please, Janet.
Sure, absolutely. You know, certainly we've kind of, the phone calls have ebbed and flowed over the months that we've had the pandemic. We've certainly had our periods of time where there have been surges, and some of those phone calls have been absolutely heartbreaking. Folks that have been just stressed beyond belief, financially, emotionally, and just kind of at their wit's end. And so glad that we were there to listen. And sometimes that's what they needed. They just needed a voice to be there to support them, and then connecting them with resources that were developed. You know, the nonprofits that Jamie mentioned, a lot of them did pivot and create new programming that would meet the needs of people that the needs that people were having with the pandemic. And so it was the Helpline Center's job to make sure that we got those folks connected to those new programs and making sure that they were able to access the help that they needed desperately.
Yeah. Jamie, from your perspective, any final thoughts on this report and really what needs to happen moving forward?
Yeah, I think this data is just so important for us as funders. And there were 7 funders who were a part of this project to make it happen. And we're all using this data to help make really informed decisions for our future funding. But then, like you said, getting the information out there, I think, is really important so that the general public kind of understands the impact that's been had on the nonprofit sector and can find creative ways to help support this sector, because, again, our nonprofit organizations around the state have just stepped up. They're always amazing, and they're always meeting the needs in our community. But during the pandemic, it just exploded 150% more of just what they can do to meet the real needs of our community, how they can work together. And that is powerful and amazing. And we just really want to make sure that the public understands that and also understands, like somebody said, this isn't going to end in anytime soon. There's going to be long-term repercussions for our community as a whole, but especially for our nonprofit sector. And so, you know, just getting this information out so everybody can understand and can support our nonprofits to the best of their ability.
Yeah. Callie Schleichner, one more time, where people can find this report and access all the data.
Absolutely. BenchmarkDataLabs.org, and then click on Research and Insights. You'll be able to find our Round 1 and Round 2 survey results. And also, if you're interested in that child care impact, we also have some other work that we've done with South Dakota Association for the Education of Young Children on the impact on the child care sector.
All right, and it's all broken down by sector as well. The arts sector clearly is really struggling through this time, so you can find more about that on that website. My guests have been Dr. Jared McIntaffer, President and CEO of Benchmark Data Labs, Callie Schleichner, Director of Monitoring and Evaluation and co-author of the report, Jamie Tennis, Executive Director of the United Way of the Black Hills, and Janet Kittums, Chief Executive Officer at the Helpline Center. I say thank you to all of you, and you're welcome back anytime as we continue. This is certainly not a story that goes away anytime soon. We appreciate your time.